Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 21st of November, and I'm recording at 10:17 p.m., and that is Greenwich Mean Time, here in a very rainy London. Okay, there were a number of interesting moves in here today following what had been quite a quiet day last Friday. Here are some of the highlights. First, I'll start with Wall Street, which still likes Trump's economic policies. Now, the DJIA edged up to another new all-time high in here today. The S&P did as well, and also did the, that's the S&P 500, and also new highs for the Russell 2000 index. It's a good indicator of market breadth, and that's been on a tear recently after a long period of just pretty much aimless ranging. Now, also, transports index is now within striking distance of a Dow theory buy signal. That occurs when both the Dow and the transports index are in or confirm each other in new high ground. So the bulls are still clearly in charge here. There is a short-term stochastics overbought condition here, but I'd go with these trends, and it would take for at least the short term, and it would take a clear downward dynamic to say that we were going to check and perhaps consolidate these rallies. And to look for trouble, we'd really need to see those early November lows taken out, and we've got more breathing space between current levels and those previous levels. Elsewhere, U.S. 10-year yields, which have been on such a tear since the Trump election victory, well, they're short-term overbought, and they eased from Friday's highs, which were just about up in the 2.35 region. This looks like a temporary pause and probable consolidation. But I really remain of the view that this move is not over yet. In other words, yields are going to move higher over the medium term, in my position, in my opinion, I beg your pardon, in my opinion. And I will repeat my positional comment that I made last Friday and earlier in my comment of the day, and that is that those really crucial lows for the 10-year yields, not just the U.S. Treasuries, but so many other important 10-year yields, occurred in July, and those moves, lows rather, are unlikely to be tested again, let alone exceeded, in your lifetime, and that includes probably if you're 15 years old. That's a long-term forecast that I won't see whether it proves to be successful or unsuccessful, but obviously the point that I'm trying to make here is this is a really important low, which marked the end of a 36-year approximately global bull market, and the scramble to get out following such a long bull trend, and I can't think of a better one, the scramble to get out always surprises people because they continue to look at the past, and also they look at the fundamentals, and really they're not thinking about people trying to scramble out of the exit. Okay. Next point I would mention is that the U.S. dollar index, now that has also been very firm and had broken clearly above that 100 level. It did ease in here today, and it's come back down to 1.0083, so just above that breakout point near the one level. And I think that I should say the 100 level. And I beg your pardon, I gave you the wrong quote on that. I am sorry about that. It's currently trading at 100.89. 100.89. I didn't think that looked right. I was looking at another item off the screen. So that was up at Friday. I think it had gotten up to over 103. It's currently at 100.87, as I just said, 87 to 89, and this looks like a little consolidation, but I would be surprised if we saw any kind of a significant move below that 100 level. And I think that would take considerable intervention on the part of the Fed. They may be Fed in the US Treasury, they may be interested in doing that, but I think they would be bucking a powerful trend here, which can easily reassert itself tomorrow or any other day here in the near-term future. So just a little pullback. What that little pullback here has done is it breathed a little life into the precious metals, which had been hit quite sharply as the dollar rallied and were short-term oversold on Friday. We only see palladium, though, up a little bit, $1.50, and in here today. Silver is actually down, but well off its lows seen earlier in the day. Platinum's done best. That's up $18 as I speak at $940. And gold bullion is at $1,213. Industrial metals are stronger, and that U.S. copper bounced back in here today. It's been consolidating after that big shoot that it saw to the upside earlier in the month. U.S. Copper is now at, let me get that price so I don't give you another misquote, at 251.90 cents. 251.9. All right, now what else is worthy of note? India. Veteran subscribers will know that India is a stock market that I have really liked since 2002, when it showed the best recovery pattern following the big 2000 stock market sell-off, 2000 carrying into 2001. I've liked it because of its growth potential, and I liked it particularly when Narendra Modi took over as Prime Minister, and I continue to like it for the long term. But in over the last couple of months, I've been giving some cautious comments, including on the 24th of March, after Mark Mobius wrote it up as an attractive market still for the long term. And I agree, it is attractive for the long term. But it had lost its uptrend consistency. It showed a good, strong, medium-term rally, getting up close to its 2015 high. And then lost, as I say, upward momentum. And shortly thereafter, we've had this kerfuffle, to put it mildly, over Modi's currency policy. And basically what he did is he canceled the 1,000 rupiah note and also the 500 rupiah note. This was really to curb black economy money, illegal money that was swirling around the system. But it's backfired because it has squeezed a lot of sections of the economy. People who've had that paper have been trying to exchange it, which isn't all that easy to do quickly. And as far as ATMs are concerned, the new money or sufficient quantities of the new smaller notes have yet to be printed. And also, apparently, I think I'm right on this point that new notes will come out at a different size. So it's absolutely chaos, and it's pushed the Sensex stock market index, Mumbai Sensex index, down really quite sharply. It's a little overextended in the short term, but more importantly, people are going to look at that chart, and India has been a favorite stock market for a lot of people for a long time. Usually the favorite stock markets in the Pacific region over the last few years, it's either China or India, and it had been very much India with China's problems. But China is doing better right now, and it's certainly cheaper, if you believe the numbers, than India is. And so I think we're going to see a further pullback by India, and then we would have, in my opinion, another good buying opportunity. I only really want to buy a market like India, which can be very volatile, when it's had a good sell-off and people are finally getting shaken out of their long positions if they've ridden it down. So I would expect a further weakness, but that may provide another good opportunity overall. And those are pretty much the highlights in here today, but Wall Street's strength has helped most markets somewhat, but again, the U.S. is really outperforming here right now among the big markets, and as long as that is the case, then we should see some other market recoveries actually occurring. But as the dollar rallies, that tends to raise concerns about many emerging markets, and their currencies tend to weaken. And so if you're dealing in US dollars, sterling, even euros, any basically really firm currency, but the US dollar is the firmest of all, then those emerging market funds are really underperforming because of those currency swings. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.